Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you back to the Miracle Man Show. We had technical difficulties there. We are back on, and like I said, it's so glad to have you wherever you may be, however you may be accessing the program. And it is Christmas time, and so I said we are going to get into some Christmas carols.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you'll hear silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Turn the street lights, even stoplights, blinking red, bright red and green, as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. Above all this bustle, you'll hear silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Christmas with Michigan snow on a Saginaw tree, and I want to be home with my family. A Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for, please. New York has a Christmas tree bigger than you would believe. And in Paris, the game is drinking grape juice from red crystal glasses on New Year's Eve. But I know a place that is special, where memories grow as sweet as your feet. And I want a Michigan Christmas. Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for. I want a Michigan Christmas with Michigan snow on a Saginaw tree. And I want a Michigan Christmas. A Michigan Christmas. A Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for. Please. Well, you see, what that was is one of those Christmas songs that you may only hear if you're from a certain state or region. Told you that I was going to be singing some of the, at least a couple of these ones that many of you may have not heard before, unless you hear it on like a very specific Christmas stations that may play it. Another one that's like that is Christmas Through Your Eyes by, forget the name of the lady that sing it, but it talks about like seeing it like through the eyes, you know, like when you were younger. And then we had to grow up. I wanted to believe again. Ready to believe again in your young heart. Show me how to dream. Let me try. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. I want everything to be the way it used to be. Back to being a child again, dreaming the world, thinking what was mine. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. You see the rain, I see a rainbow shining in the clouds. I want to believe again. Show me how to dream again from your young heart. Help me find a way. Let me try. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. I want everything to be the way it used to be, back to being a child again, thinking the world was mine. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. I want everything to be the way it used to be, back to being a child again, thinking the world was mine. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. I want to see Christmas. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. And that's another one that is an oldie that you may have only heard it if you listen to some of these older Christmas music stations. There's other Christmas carols that I can think of that have been passed on from generation to generation. And obviously, there's another one that I like that I'm not necessarily going to sing tonight. There's a couple of these that I think of that are, they're called Christmas songs, but they don't
they don't mention Christmas at all. And when I think of that, some of these are more winter songs, strictly winter. Like, I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. I don't know what that one's about. I mean, I've heard it all the time and all that. And the closest that thing comes to Christmas is where it says, I can't remember, Worst December. And then another one is If Winter is a Marshmallow World. That is a winter song. It does not mention Christmas at all, yet it's classified as a Christmas song. And another one is that Let It Snow. That is another one that is a winter song that is not exactly a Christmas song. And we also can't forget about maybe it's that It's Cold Outside, Baby It's Cold Outside. That one, I do not sing that on a show, for one thing. And two, that's another one that's more of just a winter song that's not exactly a Christmas song. And so, and there's, but God Rest Ye Merry Gentle, no, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God is sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, of the triumph of the skies. Let angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Let the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God is sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, for the triumph of the skies. Let angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky, they looked down where he laid. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Be near me, now the cattle are lowing, the shepherds are gray. The little Lord Jesus, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with you there. Be near, Jesus, I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with you there.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Come, all ye faithful, sing, all ye angels, sing in exhortation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yes, Lord, we greet thee in this happy morning, Jesus, to thee all glory be. Word of the Father, now in adoration. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this season. We thank you for your birthday, for this Christmas season. It is called Christmas. Christmas. And we celebrate you, Lord Jesus, on this Christmas season. And I just thank you, Lord God, for everything your birth represents, and you would help us all to have a great Christmas this year. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, as we talk about your word in the next few minutes, that people would understand, people would be receptive, and would understand this word tonight. And now, Heavenly Father, I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners would come in. I pray, Lord God, that finances would come in, that increased membership would come in to this program. I pray, Lord God, that I pray, Lord God, that in your name, Jesus, that huge amounts of souls would come into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, and amen, and amen. Amen. Now, so
So let's talk about what happened, you know, with the star. So, of course, here's why the star is important. It's the Star of David, for one thing. And here's what it is. It was said in the prophets that Jesus would come through the line of David. And there was a Jacob that gave birth to Joseph, that gave birth to Jesus. Oh, by the way, just like in Genesis, where there is Jacob who gives birth, I mean, there is Abraham who gives birth to Isaac, Abraham gives birth to Isaac, Isaac gives birth to Jacob, Jacob gives birth to Joseph. Sound familiar? And I'm sure there is a reason why in both cases there was a Jacob that gave birth to a Joseph. And then this Joseph, married Mary and gave birth to Jesus. Mary gave birth to Jesus. So that the family line, and of course, you know, and he comes through the family line of David. We looked at the genealogy last week. Why? Because I wanted you to see, and I wanted you to see that there really is significance in that in both cases, both in Genesis and in the case of Matthew, Jacob gave birth to Joseph. In the latter case, Joseph and Mary give birth to Jesus. Obviously, through their wives in both cases, but anyhow. And so, the star was what we know as the Christmas star, and it was shining in the east, beyond them, far. And the star gave the earth great light. And that's where we get from the Christmas song, Noel, which is another one of those awesome Christmas songs. It really is a good one. I love it. So, anyhow, like I said, anywho, let me see. So, the star represents Jesus, and Jesus is the light of the world. I mean, we are the light of the world, excuse me. And like I said, that's the reason why we have light. A lot of these things that people do now, they got them from us. Like I said, the Christmas tree last night, the candy cane, and other things, you know, the giving of gifts. The wise men came, and the shepherds and the wise men, they came, you know, the song, we three kings of Orient are, many of us, you know, bearing gifts, we've traveled so far, many of these, many people, you know, will come bearing gifts from the Orient that they bought at Walmart. But mind you, that's a different story for another day. But they say, you know, so they come and they bring him frankincense, myrrh, and the purest gold. Not just any gold, it's the purest gold. There was a special song that this lady used to sing at our church yearly. And it was like, one king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold. I forget, but I remembered the part that mentions the frankincense, the myrrh, and the purest gold. And if you can imagine, this isn't just any gold. This is very expensive, fine gold, most expensive. How much money today do you think that gold would cost, the stuff they gave Jesus? Millions of dollars? They give him some of the best gold they could find. This gold would certainly these days sell for way more per ounce than what regular gold is worth per ounce. This is some of the finest gold. And then then frankincense, and they didn't just give him, you know, they didn't just want to give him any frankincense. And some, I can just see some people thinking, oh, why do you give a baby for when they're born? Why do you give them gold, frankincense, and myrrh and let them play with that? Well, there is great significance to that. And they wanted to honor him, and they worshiped him because they know he was Lord from birth. They knew he was not a little baby who would then become Lord when he became a certain age, like 12, like 18 or 24 or 30. He only lived to be 33 years old on the earth. That's why I was saying, you know, 18, 24, 30, and then stop there, because at 30, you see, is where Jesus began his ministry. And obviously in Luke, there's the part where Jesus is 12 years old, and he is in that temple. The spirits think he's with them, but he's not. He's in the temple learning, asking the chief priests, you know, questions, because they're obviously amazed at his answers. And of course, my parents ask him, you know, Jesus, what were you doing? And he's like, I was doing business, you know, of my father's house. Then he goes home and is obedient to them. But even at the age of 12, he knows that he has great responsibility. It's like he knows that he is Lord. He knows that he has, you know, very important things. And I even think of things that Jesus said to others that were, where he said, example, he said in John, to people, people ask him, like, you know, what do you eat and what have you, and he says, I have food that you do not know about, nor do you understand, because these people know. I mean, it's like he knows that apparently they don't follow him that much, and that they wouldn't really understand it if he told them his food. But and then there's other things like that. And so, like I said, though, he goes home with his parents. And all these prophecies are told to Mary and Joseph about what Jesus will do, what he will become. And from all that, that's where we get the song, Mary, Did You Know? And so a lot of these Christmas songs, the spiritual ones that I've sang, there is purpose. They're another way to convey the message. And some people might get more out of the song than what they do out of the reading. Like when the verses that are saying the same thing are read. Other people, it's the other way around. You see. And you know, and obviously, you know, if you go to a church like mine, you know, we sing the word, and many songs that we either sing now or have sing have roots back to, you know, making mention of Jesus, or they go back to books like the Book of Psalms, like the song I've sung before in the past about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the one from the River Church, Tampa Bay, and Robbie Hallibaum, and the one, and it is totally about, you know, Psalm 23. And even if some of these songs don't mention the whole song, or other chapters in the Bible, you know, or verses don't necessarily talk about the whole psalm, it at least references part of one. Or even a line of one song, like about how the Lord is good, and it's like, I will sing of your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. And I've just been thinking about that, how so many of these songs we will sing at a church like mine, it's like I've known they've been Bible-based for so many years. But in the last month, like month or two, when I think about it, or when I think about it as we're singing about them, or even as I've been going through the Book of Psalms, you with you, my listeners, which we will be getting back to, and like how you go, I just look at it and I go, wow. And it just really makes you think and makes you go, you know, that in a way, some of these songs actually teach in a way. And but some people are so focused on the reading of the word or hearing it read, you know, through pastor or what have you, when they go to church. And then when they sing, that's a good way to look at it, isn't it? That they really do, even though it may not seem like it has the same potency that it does when it's read. It still can, if you draw from it properly. You have to draw from it. You have to draw the word that is from it, because what if that's not what pastor is going to preach on, or whoever is. You know that in a way it's like you're being taught the word through the song service sometimes, and you didn't even know it. And you didn't. So you can almost say, you know, we had an hour sermon. Like when you go to church, you know, you can basically say that. Although they're just, you know, songs and what have you, and then we preach the word. But listeners, you know, when I sing you these spiritual Christmas songs, there's a lot more to them than just a nifty song. In a lot of cases, they're like a prayer, like even the Away in the Manger, that part of it, that where it says, be Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay near me forever and love me. Bless those in your care and take us to heaven that we may live with you there. And you just think about things, you know, some of these songs, and I, like I've been doing, listeners, and I just look at them and go, wow. And I was in choir for years, and, you know, I knew there was power to them, but now when I realize even more so about how really you really are learning, like that, and how the word really is of God really is in there, that they're not just nifty, you know, that we sing, but a lot of times they're the word of God, the word, or their prayers, you know, like But anyhow, like I, as I was saying though, so the shepherds and wise men, they and the Magi, he's leading these people to where the star is, and then they follow the star all the way until they meet, until they find Jesus, where he was, and obviously he was maybe a little cold, and that part I'll do hear what I hear when it says, a child shivers in the cold. I don't know why he's shivering, but maybe he's just so small. And then the silver and the gold is to represent, you know, that he is just so great and majestic. And that's why they give him, like I said, that's why they give him the gold, the purest gold. They gave Jesus the purest gold that they could possibly give him. And I think of it like alabaster. And I even think of this lady who has that box of very, 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 very expensive perfume. And then she wipes his feet with her hair, with the perfume. And she just lavishes him with the perfume. And it wasn't anything like, oh, Jesus, this is so you smell better. It wasn't about that. It was about honor. It was about honor. It was about honor. And it's like those wise men. The reason these kings and all these people gave Jesus the gold, incense, and myrrh was for honor. And he, if he's even thinking about it, he's sitting there thinking in his little mind, what's all this for? How am I gonna play with this? And of course, frankincense. I don't know about you, but I would not give my little boy frankincense. You could start a fire with that stuff, right? Start a fire. But it represented things. It wasn't just some nifty little thing or some tall tale. No, it's in the Word of God. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so another thing I want to get into is so this covenant we have with heaven, possibly even made possible. Jesus had to be born. If Jesus was not born, the covenant would not be possible. And without that, we would still be under the old covenant. Now, of course, Jesus had to die and be put on the cross, you know, for the covenant to, in order for the covenant to be able to take effect. But in order for any of that to even be possible, Jesus first had to be born. And it was prophesied beforehand that Jesus would come. I mean, that there would be a man that would come. He would rule on earth for some amount of time. And he would, and they said all these things. And then Jesus, you know, because he was born. And that's one of the reasons Jesus came to the earth. Remember, listeners, I taught you the five reasons Jesus came. And one of them is to give life and life more abundantly. Another one of the five is to save his people from their sins and to save sinners was a third one. Destroy the works of the devil. And then And then also, you know, he came for all those different reasons that he came onto the earth, and to establish government. I did not say establish tyranny. I did not. We don't mean like and the government and where it says in Isaiah, and the government shall be upon their shoulders. That does not mean mask mandate. That does not mean stay at home order. That does not mean reduce your capacity to 30%, 40%, 50%. It doesn't mean all that. No. Jesus, the government, Jesus, it meant like government, like in the church, you know, like pastors, prophets, teachers, those kind of governance. But in order for Jesus to do any of this, of course, he had to be born. And in order to have the covenant we have with Jesus today, he had to be born, because otherwise, killing animals, if we wanted to talk to Jesus, all the money that we would be spending for all the sins that we have committed to fulfill all of these requirements of the old covenant. And to buy all these animals from the flock. That would be half the mall, wouldn't it? Or these outdoor malls even would be these flock stores, wouldn't it? Where they have to go to. And then all the stuff, you know, at these tabernacles and what have you. Some of these parks would end up having to be these tabernacles, wouldn't they? Some of these parks go do your thing there before the priest and all that stuff that's in Leviticus. Which, by the way, those of us who are Christian, you got to be able to look at it from the Old Testament side as well, of course, because the Old Testament, though many of the things in there, as far as the requirements and the sin offerings, the thank offerings, and those aren't necessarily in effect today. You still want to look at it for context and to realize, you know, thank you, Jesus, for the covenant. And one of the things that we try to do on Christmas is we try to take communion. And obviously, we don't take communion to think about what we've done. I don't take communion so I can think about all the bad stuff I've done. I take communion so I can think of what Jesus did for me. If you're doing communion and you're thinking about all the evil you've done and all that kind of stuff, or you have aught against yourself, aught against your brother, you're eating and you're drinking damnation. And that is not good. You don't want to eat and drink damnation. And if you're in awe against someone else, it's not right. You know, towards God. Why are you taking communion? Why? You're eating and drinking damnation. So you got and my mom used to tell me that. If I was messing up when I was young, and she'd be like, well, maybe you shouldn't take communion, because she could tell, like, how I was misbehaving, and when you're misbehaving like that, it shows you have aught, and that you should not be eating and drinking damnation. That's what she used to tell me, because, and that she had that in her to do that because she wanted to make sure that I was doing it properly. And it's important, listeners, that you do it properly and that you truly think about what you're doing. That's why it's important, those of your parents, if you do, if you allow your children to have communion with them, they have to be at the age of accountability, that they know what they're doing and that it's not just cracker and juice time at church. Like what they may have had in the nurseries, that this is very sacred, you know, very like divine. Like it is something you don't want to take for granted. And that cracker represents the body of Christ, the body, Jesus' body. The blood that we drink, that the, you know, the juice, that represents the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross at Calvary. And we have to remember, of course, and this is something we should all think about if we do it at Christmas. We have to think about and realize that if Jesus was not born, this would not, none of this would even be possible. We could, and the truth of the matter is, we could not have Easter without Christmas, because Easter represents, you know, the dying on the, you know, the dying on the cross. I mean, the resurrection. Excuse me. Jesus, Easter represents the resurrection. That's Good Friday, about the dying on the cross. But in order for him to be resurrected, he had to first be born, and then die. Of course, he had to be born first, which he was. Explained to you about the whole thing about, you know, Mary and Joseph, with that whole thing that happened with the whole marriage thing, and the angel tells Joseph, what's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, so you don't have to worry about it. He basically says, don't be afraid, don't worry about it. You didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did that. And that it was her only son. And obviously, yeah, all I have to do is go to John 3:16 and to look at it and realize what it says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in Santa Claus, Rudolph, Frosty, sorry. Whosoever believeth in me, meaning Jesus, this is Jesus talking, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Obviously, some versions will say eternal, some versions will say everlasting. Some might even say, I think one of them might say life more abundantly. Doesn't one of them say it that way? I mean, in 3:16, I'm up.
Oh. No.
They all just say eternal or everlasting, most of them. They'll all say something like that because certain verses, so many different versions will say so many different things. But that's one that generally just says eternal or everlasting. And even the Amplified. Obviously, I always hear Rodney Howard Brown, whenever he preaches from the Amplified, he says, if it comes across a little loud, it's because I'm reading from the Amplified. Sometimes he is just a scream and a half. A couple of Sundays ago, he was, he was at one point, he just gets into a sermon, and then at one point he decides to make fun of the mosques, and so he's like, he's saying, if you don't believe in, go find a church that's closed, and then he says, or go find a church where they have where they have Mr. Mosque a lot. Hello, sir. I'm Mr. Maskalot. Maybe someday God will set us free.
And he is actually sounding like a guy wearing one of those big masks. It's hilarious. And that one was the one, the service where he preached on, you know, the lost of the gospel. But it's the one like worth 4 hours, and it's about 2 hours in or so that he says it. But that's funny though, where he says that. That is funny that he would do that, isn't it? Would Unkit do that or no? Does Unkit ever do stuff like that with his voice? He has when he was mentioning the mask. But I will say Melissa said that she thinks that Rodney's funnier when it comes to the mask.
Oh yeah.
What's Unkit more on? Like that he goes after.
Politics, like the president and different things.
Like Rodney or worse?
Sometimes worse. He can be a little brash.
But about the masks, that's more Rodney. So I could almost call him Mr. Moss. Because yeah, I always feel like it's not the same if I hear him and he's not mentioning the mask. Whereas when we went to see him in Flint, he never really even mentioned it, even though that guy was there with that gas mask on. But it turned out that he had gotten healed of what made him have to wear that thing, and he testified about that the next Sunday when he got back to his church. Because unlike my pastor listeners, he has it so that he makes sure that he is there every single Sunday. My pastor, he, as much as he could try, he cannot do that. He cannot do that as much as he may want to. Besides that, we also have Sunday night and Thursday night. And when you have three services a week, instead of just one 4-hour service, it makes it harder to guarantee that you're at basically all the services. And more often than not, they've had Sunday night church there, but right now they're doing the stand. And of course the stand is, they're making a stand until the world opens up. And at first Rodney Brown made the stand, he made for the Constitution. Got to where the Constitution was working. U.S. was starting to open up. So he says, now we're standing for the Bible. We're standing for the church. And that's why, basically nightly, other than Saturday nights and this week, with it being Christmas week, that he is doing the stand. His church, that's what they're calling it, the stand. And they're doing it out on the field. And mind you, that field, he said they'll be going all through 2021 if they have to. Yes, he's not giving up. Especially if you put that field in front of that church, he's going to keep doing it until God tells them not to. As long as countries and that are still closed, he's going to keep standing. He's just gonna, and I'm very glad that he's doing that, and I was really proud that I got to go, and if I was ever back in Tampa again, of course I would make sure that I got to see him because he is very powerful. Didn't you say you knew Tom Lapley somehow? I thought you said you did, and you had contact with him somehow. This Tom Lapley from Naples, Tom Lapley, said there was someone in Naples, Florida, that had contacted you somehow years ago.
Yeah.
As to who it was. Was it maybe somebody Danny knew, that Dan knew?
Yeah, it could have been.
Does he know Rodney Brown?
Might have been.
Or or maybe it's some, or maybe it's, maybe it is Tom that he knew. It could be, but he said that, but he's been to, up to the river, several different times, or as Rodney likes to say, the river. Sort of a Stutt accent, and they're in South Africa. They use that proper accent, and that's why they sound more like British. and so just to hear him speak is a scream and a half. Just to hear him speak, and then when he makes you crack up, he always says, you know. And people used to call him the joy guy as a criticism. But he would always say, that's right, I am the joy guy, you know. And by the way, joy isn't just something you should have at Christmas. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be your strength regardless whether it's Christmas Day, June 25th, or somewhere in between. So why June? Because June 25th is the furthest you can be away from either Christmas. Even though it is during the summer, but still, nonetheless. Because that's a... some point in April, because that would be even further, too, because, that's in because of the so-called Christmas in July. But nonetheless, the joy of the Lord is our strength, not some other. All right, folks. So, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate loved ones, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, fire, flood, or crash. None of this evil is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We'll be living great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And until next time, folks, God first, God always, and... we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. All right. God first, God always. So long, everybody. And if I don't see you before Christmas, Merry Christmas. So long, everyone.